Well, I think about things that I do sometimes in life. One thing is true, and that is I'm not good at confrontation, or maybe put it this way, I don't like confrontation, never have. It's just a part of my wiring. But there has been those times in my life when I've had to confront people or situations, point out something that maybe was wrong or hurtful, maybe just take a stand. And he asked the question, well, why confront? Why take a stand? Maybe someone is saying something or doing something you don't like, and so you have to make a decision. Is it the right thing to do? And probably you too, at times, have probably had to do some confronting before. Different kinds of situation, maybe. And I think the one thing we would all agree on, it's not easy. And if it is, then there's probably a problem with you. But it's not. But sometimes we confront things too because maybe there's this attitude that, well, I'm right and I need to let everyone else know that they're not. Here's a question. Have you ever confronted Jesus? Interesting question to kind of think about. Have you ever confronted Jesus? Because that's what happens in the gospel lesson for today, in the Gospel of John. If you kind of pause and you kind of hover over this scene, you can imagine it. So here's Pontius Pilate. He's a representative of the greatest power on the face of the earth at that time, and he confronts Jesus. Pilate held Jesus' life in his hands. At least he thought he did. And actually, it was kind of the other way around. And Pilate, who thought himself more powerful, posed this question to Jesus. He says, so you're a king. Actually, Jesus' response confronts every kingdom that isn't a part of his kingdom, including our own. Because there are times when, in a sense, we think that we're in control. And we sit on our own self-made thrones. And, you know, we're the big shot. You know, we've got it figured out, and we know what certain things are supposed to be like and how it's supposed to play out. But the question is, for all of us, in a sense, is who's really on the throne? Who's really on the throne? Now, if you take this gospel lesson for today, it has everything that we personally need. And it's very personal, because it not only is about confrontation, but also about comfort. It actually is a comfort to know that we're not king. There's great comfort in that. And the comfort is that it's Christ. He's the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. So Pilate takes Jesus aside and says, you know, are you the King of the Jews? And it's a really interesting question, because I think what's in that Pilate is trying to find out is there a threat here? I'm testing to see if there should be a threat to the power that exists. Is Jesus involved in some kind of political sedition? Is he trying to overthrow something or do something here? Is he some kind of Jewish revolutionary, head of some group with a band of well-armed, you know, followers? Is there a threat? And Jesus' response to Pilate conveys something quite different. And he just says, my kingdom is not of this world. It's not of this world. You know, the focus of my kingdom, as he says, it's truth. It's not about a sword. And his mission is completely different. His kingdom had come to unveil the truth to the world. And so a kingdom based on truth is not just some kind of a campaign slogan. Jesus comes to show us what his kingdom is and the kingdom that he represents. So who the king is? who the subjects are, what the kingdom is like, how it operates. He's unpacking all of this. And his kingdom is actually revealed, being revealed and made known, even while, in a sense, the main players don't even know what's going on. But it's opening up, and they don't even know it. They can't see it with their natural eyes. It's interesting. John writes in the first chapter of his gospel, speaking of Jesus, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." They just don't see it. They don't comprehend it. They don't know how to process it. And John wants us to see, so he gives us, in a sense, eyes to see beneath the surface, to be insiders on the true story, to really know things that maybe other people just don't get. And so as the story unfolds, Jesus is mockingly coronated a king. They put a robe on him, they put a crown on him, and in a joking way say, "You're the king, right?" Now, I look around here, and there's probably a few of you like me who remember a game show that used to be on TV a long time ago, and it was called To Tell the Truth. So the way the game show worked is there were the contestants, few of them, and then they would bring out three mystery guests. And it was those people, they were said, all right, one of these three is A. It could be an astronaut, a surgeon, a poet, or whoever. But they had a thing. And then you were supposed to ask questions. And then at the end, you had to make your guess. And then they would say, well, the real person, please stand up. And it's always interesting to see, you know, who got it right. And that's kind of like in this scene right here. You know, all these people here, will the real king please stand up? Because Jesus appears before the rulers and leaders and powers of this world. You got the high priest, you've got King Herod, you've got Pilate, all these people. And every one of these people calling the shots keep thinking that they're the ones in control. And there's Jesus. He doesn't have, in a sense, an earthly crown. So they don't really truly know who stands before them. But you see, Jesus is king despite what his enemies are doing. Jesus is king despite their refusal to recognize and see him for who he is. And if you think about it, it's all just a matter of perspective. What angle are you looking at this with? You think of it, just go picture it this way. Jesus is not being crucified. He's being lifted up and drawing all people to himself. Jesus is not a victim, but a king who's assuming his throne. Jesus is not dead. He's transforming death into a passage that leads to life. So no matter what the world may do or how it may think about him, who he really is cannot be suppressed. But there's tragedy in the story, a real tragedy. And John lays out the real tragedy, but it's not Jesus' tragedy. It's really a human tragedy. The futile and tragic efforts of people who are blinded by the darkness, unable to see the true king that's literally standing in their midst. And in John's story, God will accomplish his purpose despite what's happening in the world. And no human being can stop it. And so we come to see God's in control of history. And that's good news. And it's good news for you and for me and for all. Because here's the thing. If he is sovereign in places like this, and by this, I mean at this time of his suffering and crucifixion, if he's sovereign even in this situation, even when everything else seems or looks or appears like defeat and disaster, then we begin to see who really truly is in control. And if God could transform this hour, this time, so too he can transform any hour. And that speaks into our life and wherever we may find ourselves. Because he says, you know, I'm not of this world. And he truly is not of this world. He didn't come to show force. He came to reveal truth. A truth that would, in a very profound way, just captivate hearts as people were able to hear things that they never heard of before in that way. King that was willing to suffer and die. And it's on a cross that he wins the victory for his kingdom. And here's the thing, he actually wins by being killed by his enemies. And it's the message of a dying king that actually builds the kingdom. And if anything's flipped upside down, it's this. Everything is upside down. The king actually suffering for the slaves. Kingdom built on this truth and not by the power of a sword. And in this kingdom, actually sinners become saints. So we pause and we think. Let's do some comparison. Think about this world, the way things operate. How are kingdoms built in this world? How are nations built in this world? They're built on force. They're built by conquering, by taking over, by taking captive. They're built with propaganda. They're built with half-truth. They're built on taking advantage of maybe changing times. You position yourself right. You bring the right people in, and you take over. They're built as subjects fight for their ruler. That's how things are built in this world. And it's happened since the very beginning. But you see, we're talking about a different kind of kingdom. Because while on earth, on enemy's soil, here's what King Jesus does. He actually hides his power. He actually hides his strength. He deliberately hides his power and majesty and veils it in powerlessness and humility. And we see him yelled at, beaten on, spit on, mocked, nailed, gawked at, you name it. We see this happening to this person. All along, hiding his power. Hiding his glory. Why? Well, why is the bottom line? Because he loves you. It's his love for you that he allows all that to happen and hides behind these other things. Because he would never allow anything to come in the way of his work on your behalf. Because he wants to build a kingdom on truth of his word and not by force. And so with his grace and his mercy, he wins and woos hearts to love and trust him. He draws people, not again with a club or sword, but by a message that says, I love you. And I'm taking upon myself the consequences of what we all deserve. Where is the kingdom of the glory of his kingdom? It's veiled. But what does he want? He wants us just to listen. Because his kingdom is not for the perfect and the powerful and the strong and the wise and the famous, per se. And he just says, listen, I have something to tell you. And so it's listen to the king. And when you look at this teaching, it's the perfect thing and how to end a year with. To end one year and begin another with Christ the King Sunday, if you understand it for what it is. We've looked at all this thing. We started a year ago with the coming of and the promise that a Savior was going to come. And he came, and then the light of the world went out. And then we see his ministry and what he did, and then we see his arrest and his crucifixion and his resurrection, and then what the resurrection did in the lives of people as that message was shared, and how it plays out practically in our life. And it's all because of Christ, who is King. So listen to Christ, your King, who builds his church from year to year, from age to age, on his word. And so why listen to the King? Because we just live in a world where there's always a competing message. If someone just, and I use the word endless, just endlessly listens or watches network or cable news, I don't care what channel it is, you are going to think differently about who the King really is and who really is on the throne. And wrong messaging over and over and over and over from various sources can cause us to think that maybe we're the ones that are supposed to be on the throne, and we're the ones that actually are in charge, and we call the shots. There's always a confrontation as to who's on the throne. And sometimes we jump in if we feel like maybe we're being threatened with the way we want to live or the way we want to think or the way we want to do things. That's why I ask that question. Have you ever confronted Jesus? Listen to him. Bow to him. Because it's from the cross the King declares mercy and grace. And it's from there that he speaks about his love for you and the love he wants to reflect through you in the world. He desires that you too would forgive others. He desires that you too would be generous. He desires that you too be an ambassador for his kingdom. What a powerful truth to know that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we begin that cycle again, to hear the story again that we need to remind ourselves every year of why he came to be Emmanuel, God with us, to journey with us, to lead us ultimately to our heavenly home. Good news for all of us, we understand who really truly is King and who should be on the throne. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for who you are and what you have done. As we just journey through life, help us to always just remind ourselves of who you are and what you have done. You are the one to be on the throne. And help us just to humbly listen and humbly follow and humbly just take your lead in what you've called us to be and do in this world. Thank you for this new season coming up, and I just pray that you would help us just to stay focused. May our eyes be on the right thing, our hearts be on the right thing, and help us again through the message that you've given us, help other people know what a blessing it is to know you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you, Heavenly Father, and for the gifts that you share with us each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.